Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Colbún Earnings Results Conference Call. My name is Francine, and I am your operator for today. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If at any time during the call you require operator assistance, please press star followed by zero, and we will be happy to assist you. I would now like to turn the presentation over to your host for today, Cristian Morales, Chief Financial Officer. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Colbún's Investor Conference Call. My name is Cristian Morales. I'm the CFO of the company. And joining me today is Oliver Herz, Head of Investor Relations. Hopefully, you have received our first quarter press release via email, or you have downloaded from our webpage. Oliver will start this call with an explanation of the main drivers of the first quarter results, and then I will comment the effects of the earthquake. And after that, we will be open for question and answers. Olivia.
Hello. Good morning, everyone. I will first take you through the analysis of our first quarter results. In terms of EBITDA, we reached $92 million. That is 71% up from the $54 million recorded during the first quarter of 2009 and slightly down from the $99 million of the previous quarter, the last quarter of 2009. The $7 million decrease in EBITDA of the first quarter as compared to last quarter of 2009 is explained by three main unfavorable effects that were partially offset by four positive effects. Although the effects are shown in the graph on page 4 of the press release if you have it in front of you. So we'll go through all of these effects. The first unfavorable effect as compared to previous quarter comes from a 17% decrease in our hydraulic generation. Lower hydro output had to be replaced by a mix of thermal generation with gas and diesel, and to a lower extent by purchases on the spot market, thus increasing Colbún's variable production costs. You have to keep in mind that lower hydro output during the first quarter of the year is consistent with seasonal patterns, the first quarter being the driest of the year. However, the comparison with the same quarter of previous year shows a higher hydro output by 7% for the first quarter of 2010. Now, the second unfavorable effect, although with a lower impact, is related to a slightly higher average unit cost of our thermal generation and a higher unit cost of purchases on the spot market as compared to previous quarter, driven by the higher average cost of natural gas purchased by Colbún and by the higher average energy prices on the spot market. As a reference, the system's marginal cost, which determines the spot price, rose from an average of $84 per megawatt hour during the fourth quarter of 2009 up to $133 per megawatt hour during the first quarter of 2010. This increase is mainly explained by the lower hydraulic generation in the whole system. Hydro represented 54% of the system's total generation during the first quarter versus 68% for the last quarter of 2009. Before moving on to the next effect, it's worth to mention that Colbún increased significantly its natural gas generation in the first quarter of 2010. Because of the restitution of gas from Metrogas, that the same amount that Colbún gave to Metrogas, transferred to Metrogas back in 2007, and also a greater supply from Argentina after the earthquake. Now, regarding the third unfavorable effect and the first positive effect, both are somewhat interrelated and mutually compensate. Actually, under normal conditions, toll revenues and toll costs should compensate, since Colbún collects transmission charges to its customers for the use of transmission lines mostly owned by third parties, and then returns those charges to the owners of the line. The second positive effect, as compared to the last quarter of 2009, is a kind of counterintuitive effect related to lower sales volume. It's not obvious that a company that sells less volume makes more money. The positive effect comes from the fact that lower sales volumes reduce the need for expensive thermal generation and expensive spot purchases, which average unit cost was higher than the average sales price. So the reduction in variable cost was actually higher than the reduction in revenues, affecting positively our gross margin. The The decrease of sales volume starting January 2010 is the result of changes in our commercial portfolio on one hand and the termination of sales to non-contracted customers on the other hand. Regarding our commercial portfolio, the two main changes are the termination of a contract we had with Chilecta, which accounted for a quarterly consumption of approximately 1,000 gigawatt hours, and the start of new contracts with distribution companies CGE and Saesa, which were awarded through bidding processes. Those two regulated customers added a consumption of 770 gigawatt hours during the first quarter of 2010. Keep in mind that the reason for reducing our contract level is to rebalance the company's commitments with its competitive generation capacity, which was reduced due to the shortage of natural gas supply from Argentina. I think we have about that in the previous conference call. Regarding sales to non-contracted customers, those were also reduced. Actually, they were almost zero this quarter. Those sales were actually a transition mechanism that ended in December 2009, and it ended due to the fact that their consumption was incorporated in regulated bidding processes, and they have now their supply contracted starting January 2010. Before we move on to the next effect, notice that the lower sales volume to contracted and non-contracted customers was slightly offset by sales made to other generators on the spot market during the first quarter. Those sales were possible thanks to the lower contract level we've just talked about and the greater availability of natural gas we mentioned before. The third positive effect is linked to a 4% higher average sales price as compared to the last quarter of 2009. This rise is explained by higher average sales prices of the three segments of customers: the regulated customers, the unregulated customers, and the sales on the spot market. Regarding regulated customers, the higher average sales price is explained by a higher volume of capacity sales to a regulated customer for about $9 million, which increases the average price measured in megawatt hour, which we call monomic price, due to the fact that this customer did not purchase energy during the first quarter. If we eliminate that non-recurrent effect, the average sales price to regulated customers that resulted from applying the new price formulas is almost equal to the average price of the fourth quarter of 2009. Now, regarding non-regulated customers, the average sales price increased by 15% as compared to previous quarter, resulting from the application of the indexation schemes of each contract, and also improved by a change in the pricing formula in the case of one of the unregulated customers starting January 2010. The fourth and last positive effect is related to lower expenses from third-party works and supplies and lower personnel and other operating expenses, mainly due to fewer maintenance works, some of them delayed by the earthquake, and lower personnel expenses as compared to the fourth quarter of 2009. On the non-operating side, the unfavorable evolution from a gain of $60 million in the fourth quarter of 2009 to a loss of $46 million in the first quarter of 2010 resulted mainly from two items. First, the loss registered under exchange differences due to the negative effect of a 3.4% devaluation of the Chilean peso versus the U.S. dollar applied on a balance sheet with an excess of peso-denominated assets over liabilities. Remember, Colbún owns important assets denominated in Chilean pesos, such as the tax receivables and also accounts receivable associated with sales from non-contracted regulated customers, which we will be recovering in the next 24 months probably. Second, the second item that negatively affected our non-operating results is the increased financial expenses and other non-operating expenses. And those were the results of the partial prepayment of a syndicated loan in February this year. This prepayment triggered the amortization of capitalized expenses associated with the structuring of this loan, basically fees and stamp taxes, and also the transfer from comprehensive income or shareholders' equity to the P&L, to the net income, of the negative mark-to-market of interest rate swaps associated to that syndicated loan. Then we also have the income tax item that registers a gain of 11 million during the first quarter of 2010, as compared to a gain of 1 million recorded under previous quarter. Tax gains are the result of temporary differences generated by exchange differences that arise from keeping financial accounting in US dollars and tax accounting in Chilean pesos. Local tax calculations, tax assets, tax liabilities are carried in Chilean pesos as per local rules and are converted to US dollar at the end of period exchange rate. The latter produces exchange differences that have to be recorded in the income tax line in accordance with the IFRS. In summary, the slightly lower EBITDA, the negative evolution of non-operating results, and the positive evolution of income tax took first quarter net income to 23 million, down from previous quarter's net income of 83 million. Now looking at our cash flow analysis, it highlights 98 million of cash flow generated from operating activities during the first quarter, explained by our EBITDA, plus the recovery of approximately 25 million from non-contracted regulated customers' accounts receivables, partially offset by interest payments of 18 million. This result is lower than the 139 million of the fourth quarter, mainly due to lower EBITDA and lower VAT recovery. Cash flow generated by financing activities was a net inflow of 193 million during the first quarter, resulting from the issuance of a 500 million international bond in January, offset by a partial prepayment in February of 250 million of the syndicated loan, which amounted 400 million initially, and the amortization of also commercial papers for 20 million. Cash flows used in investing activities was 128 million in the first quarter, explained by total disbursements of 124 million made in connection with the construction of all our projects, mainly Santa Maria thermoelectric project, San Clemente mini hydro project, and two larger hydro projects, San Pedro and Angostura. And we also made an intercompany loan granted to Hidroaysén for 11 million. The first quarter registers greater disbursements for investing activities in comparison with the 64 million from previous quarter, which included a special tax return of 44 million related to the VAT paid by Colbún for the purchases of fixed assets, which we mentioned in previous calls. In summary, net debt increased by 32 million during the first quarter of 2010, reaching 805 million as compared to 773 million at the closing of the fourth quarter 2009. This increase reflects the cash flow used in investing activities we just talked about during the quarter, which was partially financed by the cash generated from operating activities. Gross debt increased by 198 million as compared to the fourth quarter of 2009, reaching 1,455 million, explained by the international bond issuance and the partial prepayment of the syndicated loan we mentioned earlier. And to finish, financial investments stood at 650 million at the closing of our first quarter. Now I will pass it through Cristian, who is next section.
Thank you, Lydia. Very briefly, I would like to take you through what have been the effects of the earthquake on both in our operating plans and our projects under construction. According to the inspections made up today, the earthquake did not cause substantial damages in the company's operating facilities. Current evaluations estimate that the total physical damages that do not surpass $3 million. This amount does not exceed insurance policies deductible for most of the facilities. However, we will continue to conduct thorough inspection at all of these operating sites. Now regarding the company's three hydroelectric projects under construction, remember San Clemente, the small mini hydro project, the San Pedro, and the Angostura project, none of them suffered damages from the earthquake. Regarding the Santa Maria thermoelectric coal project, the 342 megawatt project, the earthquake did cause damages in some parts of the equipment that were being erected. The repair time and cost are currently being evaluated. If we take into account previous delays of the EPC contractor and inspection, evaluations, and repair activities due to the earthquake, we estimate that the Santa Maria project startup will be postponed to the second half of 2011. We cannot inform a more precise date based on current information. We should also mention that all these projects have an all construction risk policy, which covers both physical damages as well as benefit losses as a consequence of delay in the startup due to those damages. Both coverage schemes have standard deductibles for these type of insurance policies. So this concludes Colbún's first quarter result review, and now we are open to questions you may have.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star followed by one on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you would like to withdraw your question, press star two. Please press star one to begin. We have a question from the line of Christian Jadu from Santana.
Hi, good morning. Just one question. How do you expect to be the long-term EBITDA margin with this lower sales politic? Because although there were less revenues EBITDA margin this quarter, EBITDA margin increased like 7% from last quarter. So I was thinking on higher hydro and lower diesel politics, or you're going to get to LNG maximum use.
Well, of course, it depends at the end of the day on our generation mix. And if you take an average year with an average hydro generation of around 7,400 gigawatts, which is the an average year, that will drive an EBITDA margin between, I would say, close to slightly above 50%. So you should be viewing numbers between 50 to 60% on EBITDA margin.
Okay. Thanks.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star one if you wish to ask a question. And we have no further questions in the queue.
Okay, so if we have no further questions, we are very happy to have this call, and we'll continue to do it in the next quarter. And as always, we're open to receive questions you have in the interim. Olivia, as of Head of Investor Relations, is always available, or myself. So see you on next quarter. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect. Have a great day.